So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we are back. I wanted to very quickly just tell you about what's coming up on March 8th and 9th at the Embassy Suites, right down the road from where we're at in Independence here. And that is Bringing America Back to Life. It's the largest pro-life conference in the country, and it's right here in Independence, Ohio, and that's March 8th and 9th. And I will be there on the 8th. Most all day, just meeting and greeting and people. So, folks, again, for more information, you can go up to bringingamericabacktolife.org. There's going to be a tremendous nationally known speakers here all day. So, with that, John, go ahead and introduce this next piece, John.
Well, I want to put a plug in for support for the show. Pastor Ernie really can't have advertisers because of the content of what we present. What he presents is so truthful that those that hate it would go after the advertisers. So that's why he has to have the fundraisers. And once we support him publicly, like you're supporting him privately like that, he's free to say whatever he wants. So it's up to all our listeners to, and every month he has to do it, folks, all our listeners keep funding him so he's free to say what he needs, that you need to hear. Amen, Pastor Ernie?
Absolutely. Remember that MoveOn.org, that's one of Sarah's groups. They tried for years to get us off the air. And then the ACLU also tried to get us to give them a list of our supporters, and I said, right, there ain't no way.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. I remember them, Pastor Ernie. They wanted a list of all your supporters.
Yeah, and I said, first of all, I don't really keep a list. If I did, I wouldn't give it to you anyhow. Remember, and the judge says, even if this court orders, I said, even if this court orders, and he didn't do anything. He understood, you know, we will. In fact, I told him, we're going to obey God and not this court. And he backed off. Now we have Karen and PA pledges 50 and Anonymous pledges. I missed that one because it's not all the way up yet. I think we're going in the wrong direction. Yeah, that's the right direction. Tony in Toronto pledges 120. Wait, no. let's see. I look at a computer screen, folks, and they're trying to bring up the pledges, the names and that, and now we're back, okay? John in Minnesota pledges $77. John always pledges $77. And Anonymous in California pledges 20. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, John, do you want us to go ahead and introduce that clip?
Yeah, not yet, Mr. Ernie. This is really important. It's short. I won't keep it too long. But what's brewing now out there by the hard left, the establishment, everything, is they're trying to call us Christian nationalists. They're identifying us as Christian nationalists. And they're making it like very, of course they make it derogatory. I'm sure you've been following that, Pastor Ernie, about Christian nationalism.
Yeah,
nationalism.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, this is something we'll be reporting a lot. It's just broken out kind of right now, recently. So there is a reporter for Politico named Heidi Prisbyla. It's an odd name. And she has found this astonishing thing about us, Pastor Ernie. And the astonishing thing is that we actually, me and you and our listeners, actually believe that our rights come from God and not Congress and the Supreme Court. And this is big news, Pastor Ernie. So let me read this paragraph here, and then I want to just share quickly two founding documents. But this is a quote from her. But the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, because Christian nationalists are very different, is that they believe that our rights as Americans and as all human beings do not come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress, from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
Well, I've read, it's amazing. I've read a number of articles, and they refer to us, you have to add one word, as white Christian nationalists.
Well, they didn't do that yet. They haven't done that. Well, they're saying it, but not full-blown yet.
Okay, well, I've seen a number of articles where that's where they've referred to us as white Christian nationalists, yeah.
The problem with that is they are determining men are determining what God is telling them. Wow. All right, now, Pastor Ernie, I want to share this.
Before you do that, let me just say, Mike in Illinois pledges $500. Thank you, Mike in Illinois. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, now I want to take a look at the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. So we were founded, Pastor Ernie, we were founded as a nation believing that the Creator has given us unalienable rights. Obviously, she's never read the Declaration of Independence. It's alien to them.
I know that.
And then the other one, real quickly, the other one is there were three documents that America was founded on. Everyone knows the Declaration. Everybody but the hard left, communist, whatever you call them now, atheists, all of them, they don't know that, but we know it. And then the Constitution, and the third one is hardly anyone knows, but it's called the Treaty of Paris of 1783, and that's when we gained our independence, not in 1776. We had to fight for our independence. So the Treaty of Paris was when England agreed that we were a separate nation from them, and there's a preamble to it. And the preamble says, in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. That's how we were founded. We gained our independence in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. Now, I wanted to show you this. I wanted to show this before the show started. I was doing research, and that's almost been blotted out in everywhere you go to look up the Treaty of Paris. 1783, the preamble has been blotted out, but I found it, and there it is, in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. Oh, that's powerful for us as Christians in this nation, Pastor. And what other nation do you know of that was founded in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity?
Israel.
Not Trinity, Pastor.
No, that's not Trinity, but the most holy God. Right, right.
Yeah.
Just Israel and the United States, huh?
Right, right. And so what we're going to, Pastor Ernie has a video to show, and it's very important, folks, because it's going to touch drug use, legal drug use amongst Christians. And it has to do, in fact, I'll read you the article headline here. Corporate Christianity replaces God with science and spirituality with mental health. This is very serious because I have a ministry And part of it is centered around Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. And I've been able to minister to untold numbers of people, gloriously seeing them set free from broken hearts, bondage in the mind, being oppressed of the devil. And however, there is we've been infiltrated with Christian terms, Pastor Ernie. They're Christian terms, but they're not Christian. And particularly, the article focuses on Dobson. And back in the, I'm going to say in the 80s, I ran into a lot of people that were quoting Dobson and saying how much she helped them. And I didn't know that much about him. I didn't follow him, watch him, read any of his books. So I was driving and I was listening to a Christian radio. He came on and I prayed and I asked the Lord about him. So I listened to him and I heard no blood, no cross, no blood, no cross. That was going over in my mind. And I stopped and I thought, he's got a bloodless and crossless ministry, Pastor Ernie.
Well, he was on for a long, long time, but he did, I'll say this for him, he did take a strong stand against same-sex marriage. He took, he did take a very strong stand against the sin of abortion. I mean,
that's fine, Pastor. I mean, secular people could do that, too. But he's professing Christianity, and the heart of Christianity is the cross and the blood, and he's promoting psychology to go around it.
Yeah, it's kind of a misnomer, isn't it, a psychology in Christianity, right?
Yeah. Okay. Ernie, what can a psychologist or psychiatrist do to minister to people that you can't do? Except give them drugs.
Right. Well, and that's the problem.
Isn't there a great power? Just before we get to the show, I want to share this. In my ministry, I minister in Pakistan. A tremendous amount of Muslims and Hindus coming to the Lord. In Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, Malawi, the Congo, and Nigeria. Those are all countries that I've preached in. If you took there isn't a Christian psychologist in all of Pakistan or Kenya. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. If people have trouble, they take it to the Lord. And get delivered, get free. They wouldn't know, Pastor Ernie. And here we have colleges of it, and it's a substitute. It's not Christianity, folks. It's not. If they're not using like Christ came to heal the brokenhearted, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're giving people drugs because they're depressed and all. It's not to me. People that you have to search the scriptures of yourself to see. But to me, nope, that's a substitute. And the real Christianity you're going to see in, like, Pakistan, where there's incredible healings taking place. I mean, people, tremendous bondage and being oppressed of the devil, they're being set free.
All right, well, pharmakia, John, means wizardry or witchcraft. Yeah. That's what pharmakia means.
Yes, it does.
All righty. Sue in Illinois pledges 1,000. Thank you, Sue. Thank you. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Can we get some matches? All we need is a couple, two or three matches for Sue, and we're good for the night. All right, we're going to go ahead and play this clip. Folks, listen carefully to it. It's very interesting. So go ahead, Seth, whenever you're ready.
The medical community is at war, battling over the scientific research and writings of a psychologist named Irving Kirsch. The fight is about antidepressants and Kirsch's questioning of whether they work. Kirsch's views are of vital interest to the 17 million Americans who take the drugs, including children as young as 6, and to the pharmaceutical industry that brings in $11.3 billion a year selling them. Irving Kirsch is the associate director of the Placebo Studies Program at Harvard Medical School. And he says that his research challenges the very effectiveness of antidepressants.
The difference between the effect of a placebo and the effect of an antidepressant is minimal for most people.
So you're saying if they took a sugar pill, they'd have the same effect?
They'd have almost as large an effect, and whatever difference there would be clinically insignificant.
But people are getting better taking antidepressants. I know them.
Oh, yes.
We all know them.
People get better when they take the drug, but it's not the chemical ingredients of the drug that are making them better. It's largely the placebo effect.
Irving Kirsch's specialty has been the study of the placebo effect, the taking of a dummy pill without any medication in it that creates an expectation of healing that is so powerful symptoms are actually alleviated.
This is a placebo response.
Kirsch, who's been studying placebos for 36 years, says sugar pills can work miracles.
Placebos are great for treating a number of disorders, irritable bowel syndrome, repetitive strain injuries, ulcers, Parkinson's disease.
Even traumatic knee pain. In this clinical trial, some patients with osteoarthritis underwent knee surgery, while others had their knees merely opened and then sewn right back up.
And here's what happened. In terms of walking and climbing, the people who got the placebo actually did better than the people who got the real surgery.
No.
And that lasted for a year. At 2 years after surgery, there was no difference at all between the real surgery and the sham surgery.
Is it all in your head?
Well, it's not all in your head because the placebos can also affect your body. So if you take a placebo tranquilizer, you're likely to have a lowering of blood pressure and pulse rate. Placebos can decrease pain. And we know that's not all in the mind also because we can track that using neuroimaging in the brain as well.
He says the doctors who prescribe the pills become part of the placebo effect.
Clinician who cares, who takes the time, who listens to you, who asks questions about your condition and pays attention to what you say, that's the kind of care that can help facilitate a placebo effect.
He says he got into researching the effect of antidepressants by accident.
And I was interested in evaluating the size of the placebo effect. I really didn't even care about the drug effect because everybody, including me, knew it worked. I used to refer patients to get prescriptions. I didn't change the focus of my work onto looking at the drug effect until I saw the data from our first analysis.
What he saw was that it almost didn't matter what kind of pill doctors gave patients.
We even looked at drugs that are not considered antidepressants, tranquilizers, barbiturates, and you know what? They had the same effect as the antidepressant.
Come on.
Really?
Kirsch was so surprised by his initial findings, he decided to do a second study using data not only from the drug company's clinical trials that had been published in medical journals. This time, he got data that weren't published but had been submitted to the FDA, which he got through the Freedom of Information Act.
These are the studies that showed no benefit of the antidepressant over the placebo. What they did is they took the more successful studies, they published most of them, they took their unsuccessful studies, and they didn't publish them.
So when you did your study, you put all the trials together.
That's right.
You're looking at patients who took the real drug and patients who took the placebo.
Yes.
Did they get equally better? Or did the ones who took the pills get even a little better?
If they were mildly or moderately depressed, you don't see any real difference at all. The only place where you get a clinically meaningful difference is at these very extreme levels of depression.
Now look, psychiatrists say the drug works.
Right.
The drug companies and their scientists say the drug works. Maybe you're wrong.
Maybe. I'd add to that, by the way, patients say the drugs work. And for the patients and the psychiatrists, it's clear why they would say the drug works. They take the drug, they get better. Our data show that as well.
You're just saying why they get better.
That's right. And the reason they get better is not because of the chemicals in the drug. The difference between drug and placebo is very, very small, and in half the studies, non-existent.
Kirsch and his studies have triggered a furious counterattack, mainly from psychiatrists who are lining up to defend the use of antidepressants, like Dr. Michael Thace, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, who has been a consultant to many of the drug companies.
Irving Kirsch says that depressants are no better than placebo for the vast majority of people with depression. The vast majority. Do you agree with that?
No. No, I don't agree. I think you're confusing, or he's confusing, the results of studies versus what goes on in practice. What?
He says that Kirsch's statistical analysis overlooks the benefits to individual patients.
Do you have a seat?
And while he agrees there's a substantial placebo effect.
Have you been keeping track of your depression scores?
Yes.
Especially for the mildly depressed. Using a different methodology, he finds that the drugs help 14% of those moderately depressed, and even more for those severely depressed.
Our own work indicates pretty convincingly that this is a large and meaningful effect for a subset of the patients in these studies.
But even by your own numbers, more people, maybe twice as many people, are having a placebo effect than are actually being helped by the drug.
That's correct.
In the moderate range.
That's correct.
And this isn't troubling to you.
I wish our antidepressants were stronger. I hope we have better ones in the future. But that 14% advantage over and above the placebo is for a condition that afflicts millions of people, that represents hundreds of thousands of people who are better parents, who are better workers, who are happier, and who are less likely to take their life.
All right, one of the things, first I got to give the phone numbers out, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We're going to take just a minute break here, giving you folks the time to call in. Call in at 888-677-9673. But one of the things, John, are you there? John? Hey, John, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Ernie.
Okay. You know, talking about these things, these drugs, again, I want to emphasize, folks, you have most, almost 100% of these kids that turn out to be shooters, these school shooters and that, are on some form of these antidepressants, John. Almost 100% of them.
Well, they're coming off of them, Pastor Ernie. They've been on it, or they're coming off it, but they are connected to these drugs, yes.
And so, again, remember, folks. Now, John, there are natural herbs you can take that'll help you for depression out there. But what is this telling you? Here's what this is telling me. It is telling me that God has built within our immune system and with our own bodies the ability, is, I don't know if you'd want to say mind over matter, mind over body, but when that tells you, when you see that these people who believe, it's just the faith that knowing, thinking that they've taken something that's going to work. And, you know, I was really surprised about the knee thing where they just cut the knee open and sewed it back up, and people thought they had surgery, and they had better results than those that actually had surgery. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that shows if you want to call the word supernatural, Pastor Ernie, how that can play, Yeah, but what we heard there from that man, was absolute truth. There's, I think it's going back 30 or more years, about how those drugs don't work and that they actually make it worse for people. Like when they try to come off, they get addicted to the drugs, and trying to come off is incredibly awful on them. So what you heard with those doctors talking and all, that's the pharmaceuticals, Pastor Ernie. They make billions of dollars on those drugs, billions. And so they're not going to let it go, Pastor Ernie. Those, as far as I'm concerned, it's like those COVID doctors and Fauci and all them promoting how safe the shots were and how good they were and all. That's when they tell you, yeah, these drugs, they really help. and they're really good. No, that's the pharmaceuticals talking.
I hear you. I'm really surprised that this, see, this clip that we're doing is off 60 Minutes. I'm very, very surprised that they would do this because they get so much of their money, and maybe that's why this woman is kind of not really going along with this, but they get so much of their money from Big Pharma. I mean, all you have to do is look at all the advertisers, and that includes even on Fox News every day and all the news stations and that, but it's always Big Pharma. This is brought to you by Pfizer. This message was brought to you by Pfizer. How many times a day do you hear that?
Yeah, that's true, Pastor Ernie. Maybe they're trying to put it on it to neutralize it, because you've heard all those lying doctors talking about how great the shots are and all the good things. So they're maybe trying to get ahead of all this negative publicity coming out about those drugs.
Could be. We're going to listen to the second part of it. Meanwhile, folks, we got to hear from you. We got to hear from you. 888-677-9673. 888-281-1110. We have approximately 35 minutes to call in tonight yet, and we've got to raise enough money in this 1 week to stay on the air for the entire month. All right, so take us back.
Since the introduction of Prozac in the 1980s, prescriptions for these drugs have soared 400%.
I used to be happy. I remember being happy.
With the drug companies having spent billions over the years advertising them.
You know, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing more women running through daisy fields after looking morose than ever before.
There's a lot of hype out there.
Dr. Walter Brown is a clinical professor of psychiatry at Brown University's medical school. He has co-authored two studies that largely corroborate Kirsch's findings.
The number of antidepressant prescriptions over the last decade has increased. And most troublesome, the biggest increase is in the mildly depressed, who are the ones who are least likely to benefit from them.
He says they're getting virtually no benefit from the chemical in the pill. Like most experts, he says these drugs do work for the severely depressed. But he questions the widely held theory that depression is caused by a deficiency in the brain chemical called serotonin, which most of these pills target.
The experts in the field now believe that that theory is a gross oversimplification and probably is not correct.
And the whole idea of antidepressants is built around this theory.
Yes, it is.
To approve any drug, the Food and Drug Administration merely requires that companies show their pill is more effective than a placebo in two clinical trials, even if many other drug trials failed.
The FDA for antidepressants has a fairly low bar. A new drug can be no better than placebo in 10 trials, but if two trials show it to be better, it gets approved.
Does that make sense to you?
That's not the way I would do it if I were the king, but I'm not.
Dr. Tom Loughran, director of the FDA's Division of Psychiatry Products, defends the approval process.
We're told you discard the negatives. Is that right?
We consider everything that we have. We look at those trials individually.
But how are you knowing that the two positives deserve a bigger strength in the decision?
Getting that finding of a positive study by chance, if there isn't really an effect, is very low. So, that's basic statistics, and that's the way clinical trials are interpreted. A separate question is whether or not the effect that you're seeing is clinically relevant.
Okay. Is it clinically relevant?
The data that we have shows that the drugs are effective.
But what about the degree of effectiveness?
I think we all agree that the changes that you see in the short-term trials, the difference between improvement in drug and placebo, is rather small.
It's a moderate difference.
It's a modest difference.
It's so modest that in Great Britain, the National Health Service decided to dramatically revamp the way these drugs are prescribed. It did so after commissioning its own review of clinical trials.
We came to the conclusion that for mild to moderate depression, these drugs probably weren't worth having.
At all?
Not really.
Dr. Tim Kendall, a practicing psychiatrist and co-director of the commission that did the review, says that like Irving Kirsch, they were surprised by what they found in the drug company's unpublished data.
With the published evidence, it's significantly overestimated the effectiveness of these drugs, and it underestimated the side effects.
Well, the FDA would say that some of these unpublished studies are unpublished because there were flaws in the way the trials were conducted.
This is a multi-billion dollar industry. I doubt that they are spending $10 million per trial to come up with a poor methodology. I mean, what characterizes the unpublished is that they're negative. Now, I don't think it's that their method is somehow wrong. It's that their outcome is not suitable from the company's point of view.
Because of the review, new public health guidelines were issued. Now, drugs are given only to the severely depressed as the first line of treatment.
Sure, yeah.
For those with mild to moderate depression, the British government is spending nearly $500 million training an army of talk therapists.
If you want to go a little faster, you can.
Physical exercise is another treatment prescribed for the mildly depressed.
By the end of 10 weeks, you get just as good a change in their depression scores as you do at the end of 10 or 12 weeks with an antidepressant.
None of the drug companies we spoke to was willing to go on camera, but Eli Lilly told us in an email that drug trials show antidepressants work better than placebos over the long term, and that numerous studies have shown that patients on placebos are more likely to relapse back into depression. The industry's trade association, Pharma, wrote us, antidepressants have been shown to be tremendously effective.
I really went into it not expecting.
But if Irving Kirsch has his way, the drug companies will have to completely rethink their $11.3 billion business.
All right, folks, it's all about money. Listen, again, there are natural herbs. Think about this. God gives you the natural herbs. Big Pharma gives you wizardry. This is where that word comes from, pharmacy, pharma, from pharmakia, meaning wizardry or witchcraft. Think about it. More people die in this country every year. Over 250,000 people die from prescription drugs. Think about that. All right, Big Tony in Parma pledges $50. Thank you, Tony. 888-281-1110, folks. We got to hear from you. We've got less than 30 minutes left. 888-677-9673. We'll be back right after this.
Feels so fine, this new age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the new age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth. But it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died, and he has risen on high, and if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still.
Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared till I go to heaven, or as I fear, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
All right, you had better care. You had really better care, folks. Well, yep, absolutely. Someday that'll be all that you care about, and that's for real. There's no chance at all that that won't happen. Boy, I wish we could convince the Democrats of that, huh? All right, folks, can we get a pledge? We need to get a match for Mike. Mike from Illinois said pledged $500. We need to get a match for Susie from Illinois, pledged $1,000. We actually got three calls right in a row. Mike, Nancy, and Susie, all from Illinois, and Nancy had pledged $50. Can we get a match? We really need to get a match for all of those. So, folks, we only have about 20 minutes left, 23 minutes left tonight to call in. So the numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. The overturning of Roe v. Wade made by the Supreme Court has saved nearly 90,000 unborn babies from abortion so far. This is according to the National Right to Life Committee's State of Abortion annual report released in February, which notes that legislative developments that have arisen in the state and federal level in the first year following the Supreme Court's Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization decision, which overturned Roe v. Wade, Susan Swift. She says about 98% of abortions in America are just for convenience sake. Well, how about that? Folks, we'll take 90,000. We'll take it. Praise the good Lord. Amen. All right. We've got to talk about this, too. Where'd it go? Oh, here you go. Majority of voters, listen to this, John. Majority of voters believe cheating will affect outcome of the 2024 election. I wonder why, huh? Only 37% say it's not likely. Those are all Democrats. But the majority of the voters say 74% of the voters say that they look for cheating. They look for cheating, okay? Let me read the whole article. A majority of U.S. voters believe cheating will affect the outcome of the 2024 election. The numbers include 52% of all voters, 74% or three-fourths of all Republican voters, and only 32% of Democrat voters. Even one-third of Democrat voters believe that fraud will affect the 2024 election, and they know that it's going to be done by the Democrats. A year ago, the number who expected cheating to affect our outcome election was 54%. So it has come down a little slightly over the past year. Why do you think that is, Joe? John, over in the past year, you've had, you're making noise again, John. In the past, well, it's coming from somewhere. Anyhow, in the past year, you've had all of these articles, in fact, tons of them, relating to the voter fraud out there in Arizona and Pennsylvania. In fact, right here, leaked recordings reveal Democratic strategist and Soros-linked operative caught in massive global political influence and election interference operation. Here, this is by the Gateway Pundit. In a series of explosive videos released, it goes on to say that high-profile figures have been caught on camera discussing behind-the-scenes activities related to U.S. foreign policy. The recordings reveal a concerted effort to influence political outcomes in Poland, Hungary, Brazil, Turkey, and beyond. The leaked conversations feature shocking admissions from several key players, including retired General Wesley Clark and Supreme Court Allied Commander of NATO. Do you know that Wesley Clark's real name was Kane? Did you know that?
I knew it wasn't his real name, but I didn't know what his real name is.
One day he was on C-SPAN. He was speaking. Well, do you know how when the event's over with, the people, they just film it for a while, people just standing around talking? Well, he didn't know that the mic was hot where he was at, and he was talking to these women, and he says, you know, my real name is not Clark. My name's Kane. It's in Jewish. They changed that to Clark because they didn't want people to know he was Jewish. What do you think of that?
What's his name? I call him Lurch. I can't get that out of my mind.
John Kerry.
John Kerry. Yeah, his name was changed also. He, way back when, his family was Jewish.
Well, yeah, his name.
A lot of groups did that, Pastor Ernie. I know when the Irish came, a lot of them dropped Mick. You know, my name's Mick Ternan, but my dad told me I had relatives, a lot of relatives in California that had dropped the Mick. And so, yeah, a lot of them did that back in the day.
There's somebody up here running for Congress by the name of Mick Ternan. I see their signs out.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't tell me he's a Democrat.
I don't know. One of these days I'm going to have to stop and look closer on the sign to find out. I think the name McTurnan was shortened to Turnup. I might be wrong. All right. Celeste in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you, Celeste. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. I know that, you know, there's that communist who is absolutely no relation to me at all called Bernie Sanders. And here, we're at the church that I pastored out there in Cortland, Ohio, on the marquee. They went and put a B in front of my name. They found the matching letters to where it said Bernie Sanders, the preaching. And so, or as Pastor Bernie Sanders. And that offended one of the ladies in the church, was so offended by that. She actually started crying. But that was something. I did not appreciate that at all, John.
Well, do you remember I used to tease you?
Yeah, I know.
Say, how's your cousin Bernie doing?
Oh, you know what? They were looking at what's right, what's left, and they were looking at Pastor Ernie Sanders, and Pastor Hal was pulling it up, and he was reading, and he was talking about properties owned and this and that, and I said, wait a minute, that's not me. He looked closer, and he had Bernie Sanders, not Ernie Sanders. And so, yeah, he ended with a B.
And then I used to tease you news saying, rumor has it on the internet that Bernie's converted you to be a communist.
Unbelievable. All right. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. He is a communist. He did his honeymoon in Moscow.
Yeah, but here's such a thing. You're exactly right.
Yeah, he's a communist to the bone. That's why the squat likes him so much. Because you've got...
Yeah, he's a communist, but he has a multi-million-dollar home somewhere on a lake.
Well, he's got more than one. And did you know... See, with us, hypocrisy... is repulsive. To us, hypocrisy is a bad thing. Remember Jesus said, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites. But to them, it's not. To them, hypocrisy is something to be embraced. And I know I've said this before, but when Hillary Clinton came to town, she had a book signing. And so I wanted to hear what the chatter was amongst the communists. So I, went in there and I just sat down. I was a bunch of them, and they were bragging about hypocrisy. They were bragging about doing the very same things they were condemning others for doing, and laughing about it. It was a good thing.
Well, Pastor Aaron, doesn't that go along with lying and promoting delusions? That's all. It's not just that they're hypocrites, but they're pathological liars. They live and promote delusions, and I don't know whatever else. So it's like a pattern with them. It's just more than it's completely rotten from one end to the other.
Whatever God's word, the Bible teaches, they embrace the exact opposite. So whatever God's word calls good, they call it bad. Whatever they call bad, is what God's word calls good. In other words, everything, if you talk about murder, okay, the very first thing, the command that God gave man was to be fruitful and multiply, be fruitful, to have children, right? So they're against having children. They want to kill children. They said that the number one issue that the Democratic Communist Party is going to run on in this election is abortion. This is why we're trying to get Randall Terry wants to run those ads out there. Make them look at what abortion is. Make them look at their sin. See, if they have to look at these aborted babies, the carnage, the evil, the wickedness. I mean, it's pure evil and wickedness. They should have to look at it, okay, every day. And so that's what we want to do. We want to run those ads. And since he's running for a federal office, under the law, they have to run the ads to take as long as he can pay for them. So there you go.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
All right. We have Anonymous in Illinois. He pledges 100. Hearing a lot from folks from Illinois tonight. Boy, the Illinois is doing very good. 888 281-1110 or 888-677-9673. John, it's the time for you to tell the folks how, I wanted to say this real quick. When you talked about Kerry, his real name was Cohen. They changed it from Cohen to Kerry. And the reason they did that is so that his initials would be JFK. They wanted his initials to be JFK. And they even... John Kennedy didn't realize, but when John Kerry was young, they convinced him that he thought that the sun rose and set on JFK. Everybody knew what was going on except for JFK. But you only have 4 minutes. Go ahead. You get her done, John.
Okay, Pastor. Want to share here in the time that I have about the seriousness of sin, folks. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, that death, the ultimate death, is separation from God in eternity. And it's not that is an existence. We all will exist in eternity, some to everlasting life, and the Bible says some to damnation. So that's the issue. There is a penalty for sin. Just like here, if you break the law, there's always a penalty for breaking the law. Well, in eternity, that penalty is separation from God, and that's what that's how you define death. But God loves us, and he wants no one separated from him. In fact, that famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God's love is out there, but you've got to appropriate it. You've got to realize you're a sinner, repent of it, that you want nothing to do with it. You want to get rid of sin, and you want to turn. That's what repentance is, about face, and you want to follow and serve Jesus Christ and his word. That's what repentance is. And then what you see about Jesus dying on the cross, that shows you the severity of the penalty for sin, the horrible death he went through. But he did it because of love for us. He didn't want to see anyone separated. So there's the offer from God, that Jesus died for your sin, and then he was righteous. He was without sin. We inherit that from him. And that's what gives us eternal life. He paid the penalty for our sin, and his righteousness is placed in us. And then he died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead 3 days later. That's really the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, why he died, and then he rose bodily 3 days later. If you're willing to follow God's plan, it's very simple, folks, but it involves repentance, which is a price to pay. You're going to change your life. And I always like to bring this out. When you go into heaven, there's a new song that people are singing, and they're telling us in that song how they got into heaven. And it's singing it to Christ. And they say, for thou was slain, that's on the cross, and redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. They tell us in heaven how they got there, folks. And there's no other way except through the death, shed blood, and confessing Christ as your Savior to get to heaven. And that's the mercy of God, the love of God. If you don't do that, in eternity, you have to pay the penalty for your sin, which is death in a place called hell, separated from God for eternity. Pastor Ernie, how much time is left?
You got 1 minute.
Yeah, so I'd like to bring that to everybody's attention, that it can be done right now by turning, repenting, and confessing Christ. And confessing Christ is done by, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's like, Lord Jesus, I believe you, of course you repent, I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood to pay the penalty for my sin. I repent of it, I turn from it, and I confess you as my Lord and Savior, and I believe you were raised from the dead, and you're coming a second time to take us to heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen, Pastor Ernie.
Amen. Thanks, John. Yeah, we're at that time we come to every night at this time. What do? We always say good night. Say good night.
Good night.
We always say, God bless. Say God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
And then we always say this, and always, let's do it. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.